The following audio is from Missio Dei Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to find out more about us and how we strive to be a gospel-centered, city-focused church community, visit us at missiodei.org.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Good Friday. This past Sunday at Missio, we celebrated Palm Sunday, and so as we noticed, we invited the kids in, and it was a bit of a celebration, an inauguration of this coming king who would come to bring peace to all people. And as you've already figured out, that our time tonight is less of a celebration and feels a little bit more like a funeral. See, because this was the culmination of really a whole entire week of rejection by different people at different times throughout that week. We see Jesus going to the temple and being rejected. We see Jesus standing before dignitaries and being rejected. We see Jesus, even among his disciples, being rejected. And so it's a heavy time. It was filled with tons of conflict and a tremendous amount of tension. And this ultimately culminated in Jesus experiencing cruciating and tremendous rejection that ultimately caused his death. Our text this evening is Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 33 through 43. It says this. It says, "And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" This is the word of the Lord. And so as we talked about this last week, kicking off with a celebration, we see that this King of Peace who came offering peace to all people now stands as this, the King of Peace who has been rejected by all people. And so that's really our big idea, that the King of Peace that came to offer peace to all people was then just a few short days later rejected by all people. And as we examine Holy Week, Jesus' last week on earth, we would be absolutely remiss if we didn't pause like we are now and reflect on the tremendous rejection that Jesus endured. Where did this rejection come from? As we examine Jesus' last week of life, we see rejection really coming from all places. Let me give you a few examples. Jesus in his last week of life, and even beyond that, was ultimately rejected by the religious system of Israel. He was the King of Jews and mocked as such at his death, but really they rejected him. And as they rejected him and examined him, they found Jesus to be deceitful. Found Jesus to be deceitful. Then as we see the legal system of Israel. See, it wasn't just the religious leaders. It wasn't just the Jewish people that were rejecting Jesus. The entire legal system that made up all their checks and balances had rejected Jesus. And as they examined Jesus, They found him delinquent, leading him to trial to stand before the Roman jury. Then we see that the Roman Empire, when they were presented with Jesus and as Pilate stood before him as the governor, he and the entire Roman Empire ultimately rejected Jesus. And as they examined him, they said, even Pilate says, there's no fault in him. I wash my hands of him. But they still found him deficient enough that they weren't willing to save him and pardon him. The crowds in Jerusalem that were there, and as we looked at this past week, were confused and were shaken up and were stirred up inside themselves at all the commotion that Jesus was making as he entered the city, rejected him as well. They found him disrespectful at best and blasphemous at worst, as he declared that he is God, that he declared he is the Son of God. Then we see, perhaps even the saddest of the ones that we've listed thus far is the disciples. We all know the famous one, Judas. We all know about Peter, but we also know that many of them disappeared for those couple of days after Jesus' death and kind of had abandoned and rejected Jesus, finding him disappointed. They were left with discouragement at their king, at their friend, at their mentor, as their coach, as their partner in ministry, as they had spread themselves out all over doing the work of God. Left them discouraged and disappointed. And as Jesus hung on the cross, drawing his last and final breath, we see that God himself rejects Jesus in that moment and finds him damned. Damned, depraved. Things that could ultimately describe our spiritual condition before ever having an interaction, an experience of life-changing grace offered to us in Jesus. Why would God reject his Son? Why would God's evaluation of Jesus, the sinless one, lead him to find Jesus sinful and ultimately damned to death? Because Jesus, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God, in that moment became our sin. See, up until this moment, we've reflected on all these people outside of ourselves that had rejected Jesus, that had put Jesus on that cross. But in that moment, as Jesus is hanging there, as he's been beaten, as he's been bloodied, as he's been murdered, the fullness of all of our sin was met with the fullness of all of God's wrath. And it culminated in that moment in total and complete rejection by not just the dignitaries, by not just the religious leaders, by not just the Roman Empire, by not just the disciples, not just God himself, but ultimately by all people, including you and including me. Jesus was brutally beaten. He was hung out to die on a cross. Even while he was hanging there, drawing his last breath, he was mocked and despised by all men and ultimately died. As immense as the physical sufferings of Jesus' death were, the spiritual sufferings were that much greater. As Jesus, enduring the rejection of mankind, enduring the rejection of a religious system, enduring a rejection of a governmental system, enduring the rejection of even his closest friends, for the first time in all of his life, was separated from the mercy of God so that you and I could have mercy. It's beautiful. But we see then, how is it that we have rejected God? How is it that some of us continue to reject God? How is it that our sin put Jesus on the cross? And I want us to understand that our sin is the tangible, the visible, the displayed expression of our rejection of Jesus. See, it was our sin that Jesus took on himself that ultimately killed this sinless Son of God. God wasn't terrified and angry at Jesus for the works that he had done. He wasn't angry for the life that he lived. His wrath was kindled because of the sins of you and I that was placed on him. Jesus was also mocked and derided by many, our text tells us, who would pass by him as they hung on the cross. And so we, all these years removed from this narrative, continue to do the exact same thing. We do this when we step into the role of Jesus, trying to earn for ourselves the redemption and the forgiveness that he took all of our sin on himself to give us. See, you and I killed Jesus, and we continue to make a mockery of his death with our sin. The tension of Good Friday that we feel in part, even tonight, as it's weighty, as this is heavy material and content. See, that tension that we feel very little of tonight was felt immensely in those moments for those people experiencing this life of Jesus, this entry into the city, all the conflict and tension that had built up, and then ultimately Jesus dying in real time was much, much more heavy than it is for you and I, or heavy for how we could even comprehend it. See, we have the luxury of knowing the end of the story. They did not. All the confusion, all of the doubt, all of the worry, all of the angst, all of the what ifs, all of the things running through the minds of those beloved followers and disciples of Jesus that were feeling the weight that their sin had caused Jesus' death, all the people that wondered, the Roman guard who even said that truly this is the Son of God, all these things are building and they have no clue what's to come just a few days later. See, they had to sit in the reality that their sin killed Jesus without any hope of that ever changing. Tonight, tomorrow night, let us sit. Let us sit. Let us sit. Let us mourn. Let us weep. Let us feel the weight of the reality that our sin killed Jesus. I'll pray for us. Father, thank you so much for what we even get to reflect on. God, knowing that the story doesn't end here. But God, I pray even in this moment and throughout the rest of this weekend as we anticipate celebration, as we look forward to resurrection, as we look forward to all the beautiful things that brings us, I pray in this moment and over the next few days that we would feel the gravity, that we would feel the tension, that we would feel the conflict inside of our souls, knowing we've been forgiven, but that we needed to be forgiven because our sin had killed God. God, I pray that throughout this weekend that God's grace would be more glorious, that God's mercy would be felt more miraculous, that your glory and your name and your fame would excite us like it never has before because of our reflection on the reality that our sin killed you. Help us now as we mourn.